Okay, we're on page 1052. We're starting Perek Chav Gimel today. Last time, and we'll see why this is connected, last time we learned about, God forbid, if somebody rapes a girl or seduces her, the various different dinim involved, the fines that he has to pay, and so on. So this pasuk, in continuation to that, basically says like this. The Yikach Ish Es Eishes Aviv, a man cannot marry the wife of his father. Now, even though we've learned in the past that most of the times it happens to be your mother anyway, and you can't have relations with your mother anyway, but this, the Torah refers to a few different things. Number one, if it's your stepmother, which is not your mother, is also forbidden. Or, that's basically what the Mefarshim explain. V'lo yigale et knaf aviv. And he should not uncover the robe of his father. What is that referring to? This is referring to a case, as Rashi says, the Mefarshim explain. It means like this. The person, the father has to do yibum. Okay? Meaning like this. If a guy dies without children, the brother has to marry her. Or what we do nowadays, what's called chalitza. So the father's brother died. So the brother's wife has to marry the father. Now, even if she's not married yet to the father, the fact that the Torah commands him to marry her, if the son has relations with her, it's also what the Torah says he's not allowed to do. But Rashi says, even though it's the wife of your father's brother, which is anyway forbidden, so the Rashi said from the Gemara, they give you two negative commandments. As you transgress two sins, by the way, and it's capital punishment that you get killed for. Some of them, Bezdin kills you, most of them, it's what's called Kodesh, the Hashem kills you, that you died earlier than usual. So this is, but the Gemara learns out an interesting thing from here. When it says, lo yikach ish, it doesn't say don't marry. It says lo yikach. Now yikach, taking, actually refers to kedushin. The kedushin means, the guy gives the ring, like we learned many, many times. The guy gives a ring or money, whatever it is. So yeah, mekadeshesli, so it becomes forbidden for everybody else in the world, except she's bound to him, but she can't live together until they actually get married. So the Torah over here is saying an interesting din, the Gemara says, in passing, so to speak, that it's not even a valid kedushin. In other words, let's say this woman is now, let's say the father's brother's wife died, so now she's a widow, right? If a guy would come and give her kedushin, in this case, the Torah says it wouldn't even be a valid kedushin. Because she's still the sister-in-law, his aunt, basically, which would be forbidden. So it means like this. And a little bit of this we discussed in the past, but very briefly. Any forbidden marriage, and that's what we'll see connected to the mamzer coming up in a few psukim. Any forbidden marriage which is punishable by death, whether God kills you or courts kill you, there's no concept of kedushin at all. In other words, I'll give you an example which is very clear. A guy has a single sister. He comes over to his sister in front of two witnesses, gives her a ring, and says, "Areat l'kadesh l'si, you are consecrated to me with this ring according to the laws of Moshe Yisrael." Okay? She's not considered a married woman. She's not a woman that had kedusha with a man that she would need a get from the brother to be able to marry anybody else. If a guy would go over to a regular single girl in front of two witnesses and give her a ring and she would agree to it, and he said, I mean, she would need a get from the guy. But because a brother and a sister is a forbidden relationship that has capital punishment to it, it's not even a valid kedushin at all. And that's why the Torah said, lo yikach means you can't even have the concept of kicha, of kedushin. It just doesn't exist because it's capital punishment. What?
Why is it a problem if you're just doing a mock wedding? Just a show.
Who? Today?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? If a boy comes up with teenage kids, and it happens, by the way, more than you think it does, teenage kids are by a party. Yeah, and the guy comes over, they're a little tipsy, but not completely tipsy, they don't know what they're doing. Yeah, and a boy comes over to a girl in front of two of his friends, and says, hey, are you at Mekadeshes? He gives her something. He says, you're Mekadeshes to me. She needs a get.
And no, if it is no ring, is there anything else?
Anything that's valuable of a nickel, a dime.
Okay. If the brother-in-law, the husband died, and the brother-in-law already, this lady has already children, and they force her to get married with the brother-in-law.
Who?
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. So
10:52 at the bottom.
Okay. So
start again.
This lady, her husband died.
Right. She has kids and no kids.
She cannot marry her brother. Okay, but it's already, they forced her.
What do you mean they forced her?
So they did. And they have she has a child.
It's a mamzer.
Oh, okay, so this mamzer can get married?
We're going to learn about mamzerim in a few minutes. We're going to learn the real mamzer. Not the everybody mamzer, the real mamzer.
So if a woman's husband dies, but she has children from the husband,
right. The
brother is not obligated to marry.
He's not allowed to.
They're not allowed.
Not only he's not obligated, he's not allowed to. If there's no children, but today they don't marry, they do what's called chalit. Okay, we'll get there soon.
Well, that's just for financial support. Perhaps that's...
No, it's to build the brother's home. Okay, next. Mamish, the last word at page 1052. Okay, I'm not going to elaborate on this, even though it is relevant in halacha. But a person with crushed testicles or severed organ, that means that the reproductive organs are ruined by people, by man, cannot come b'kal Hashem, meaning they're not allowed to marry a girl. A person with either psua daka, that is crushed, meaning that their reproduction organs of their body are crushed and ruined in this, so they're not allowed to get married. And therefore, b'chlal, people are not allowed to do anything. It applies to men and women, by the way. That you can't actually sterilize oneself, or sometimes when they do prostate surgery, not anymore, but years ago when they did prostate surgeries, it was a big halacha question, because sometimes the way they did the surgery, they actually affected the reproductive organs, and then they become what's called the psua daka, and they can't stay married. Well, it's a complicated thing. Today, most of the places, they don't do it. But stam, it's the concept of you can't do anything to the reproductive organs, because then they become either psua daka or krusha. It's also not allowed. No.
But why you don't have something in between when you want to marry, they go to test, everything should clear, then get engagement and marry. Why we don't have it here?
They do have it. I don't want to get it. There's something called Dor Yesharim. There's something called Dor Yesharim. They do a lot of testing, not as much as is possible, but today you keep finding out new genetic testing. They do it. There's something called Dor Yesharim. There's something called Dor Yesharim.
In high school, that lots of Persian people, I tell you that before.
But I'm not ready to the. I'm not at the level of the Persian people yet. That's a high level. I'm talking about now simple Jews. Kids in high school today, in the frum schools, yeah? The boys in the school, a lot of times Dor Yesharim comes to them. They take a blood test from you. Okay, that tests for Tay Sachs, a bunch of other diseases, God forbid. Then you get a number. They don't go by names. It's numbers and birthdays. When you're going out with a girl, I'm talking about the frum community, what they do. The girl also got tested and has a number. And it's all in this database of what's called Dor Yesharim. That's the organization. So when you're about to go out with a girl, say, I want to go out with a girl, I'm going to call Dor Yesharim and give him my number and their number. She's going to call Dor Yesharim, give him her number and their number, okay? And then they test it, if it's a match or not. Because in most of these diseases, it's only if one of them, if both are carriers. If one of them is a carrier, usually it doesn't carry on to the next generation. So what they usually do is, they will not even tell you if you're a carrier or not. They will tell you when this shidduch, is it okay to go out with this girl? Is it okay to go out with this boy? They'll tell you yes or no. That's all they're going to tell you.
How about the production? They don't have tests for the production?
No. That's a big shaila. Okay, I don't want to get into that. That's for a different time. Okay. La yavei mamzer b'kal Hashem. A mamzer cannot enter the Jewish congregation. What does it mean? He cannot enter. He cannot marry a Jewish girl. That's what it means. Like Rashi says in the Gemara, the Yisa Yisraelis. He's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. A mamzer technically could marry a convert. A mamzer could marry a female mamzer. But halachically, it's not allowed. I mean, halachically, it's allowed, but it's not done. Because their kids are going to be mamzerim. And all you're doing is multiplying the amount of mamzerim of these. The English word for mamzer is, here it calls it mamzer. I mean, literally, it's a bastard, but not what we call everybody, you're a mamzer. What it means is like this. And this is the connection from the why it says, Liyikach isha seishas oviv. Over there is capital punishment. A mamzer is not only, by the way, it's very different than the secular definition of a mamzer. For instance, if a single boy and a single girl have a child, the kid's not a mamzer. He's born out of wedlock. In the secular world, they consider it a mamzer. But in halacha, the only time a child is a mamzer is when it's a relationship of things which are capital punishment. Or, that like the halacha is, even if it's kodesh, means God kills you earlier, not the courts. God kills you earlier. So in other words, if a guy has incest with a sister and she gets pregnant, a guy has relation with his aunt, I mean, all these are all kodesh. They're not ashesish, you know, adultery with a married woman, that's adultery, that the courts kill you, which is also a mamzer. So the definition of a mamzer, is when it's forbidden, biblically, number one. You can have a rabbinic mamzer too, but biblical mamzerim is when the Torah forbids it, and the punishment is capital punishment, either by the courts or by God. So for instance, if a kohen, who's not allowed to marry a divorcee, right, gets married to a divorcee, and has a child,
he's not
that kid is not a mamzer. He's not a kohen. He's what's called a cholo. But he's not a mamzer. Because a kohen with a divorcee is not, it's biblically forbidden, but it's not capital punishment of death by court or by God. You get lashed. It lashes. And therefore, another interesting thing, even though Rabbi Akiva argues on this in the Gemara, but the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva with this. And for instance, you could ask a question like this. We said before, if it's a forbidden relationship, then the Kedusha is not valid. If a guy comes over to his sister and gives her a ring, it's not valid because it's forbidden. So why if a Kohen gives Kedusha to a divorcee, the din is they would have to get divorced. Because it's only a negative commandment without capital punishment, the marriage is effective. The Kedushin is effective. When is the Kedushin not effective? When is it not effective? When is capital punishment?
What? If you have two sets of marriage, they are not the kosher marriage, okay? And they have relation, and the kids they have coming is mamzer.
You have to be more specific in the case.
So you have two sets.
What do you mean two sets?
Like
boy girl.
Boy girl. Yeah.
No. Who's married to whom?
Both they married together, but they are fooling around.
That's a mamzer.
If the kedushim is not kosher.
If Reuven and Shimon.
Yeah. Is not.
One second. Reuven and Shimon.
Yeah.
Are married to Rachel and Leah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. Okay. Now instead of Reuven being with his wife, yeah, he's with Leah.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm not talking about Kedushin. But if she becomes pregnant and they have a child, the kid is a mamzer.
Well,
it's Eishes Ish. Is
the Kedushin
married?
No.
No, he's married.
He said they're married. Reuven is married to Rachel, Shimon is married to Leah.
Yeah.
Right? So Reuven is fooling around with Leah.
Yeah.
Or Shimon with Rachel.
Yeah. So
the kid's a mamzer.
But the Chidushim is not kosher. It's not the.
It's not Chidushim. Here they gave birth to a child. It doesn't matter if the Chidushim is valid.
But if he's saying the Chidushim was not valid.
There's no Chidushim. They're fooling around.
So how can there be marriage?
Oh, you didn't say that.
Two set of reform.
That's a different story.
Yeah,
now, what happened? Good morning.
Good morning.
4 days, 5 days ago, good morning. Now, What happened, and this is, by the way, thank God that there's this leniency in the world, which most Paschim today go with, and everybody should go with it. They all go with it today. You have in husband and wife are married.
Yeah.
Not according to Allah. Okay. I don't want to call it conservative reform. Not according to Allah. Meaning, the witnesses are not kosher. Nothing is kosher. Okay. Then they break up.
Yeah.
But because they're not religious, they didn't get a get.
Yeah.
Now this woman goes and marries somebody else. Correct?
Mm.
And they have a child. Is that kid a mamzer or not?
Yes. So
today, it's ruled, and it always was ruled, it doesn't change that, but the fact is, because the first wedding was never valid, she's not a married woman. For instance, to give an example, boy and girl fool around as teenagers, yeah? And then, they go their separate ways, he gets married to someone, she gets married. Does she need a get from that guy?
No,
because they're never married. Right?
Yeah.
They were never married. If they're never married, she doesn't need a get. Now, even though they're living together as husband, well, that's the difference if they live husband and wife. It's a very complicated shaila. Every case needs to be judged individually. But if a man and a woman never got married according to halacha, correct?
Yeah.
And then they get divorced, not with a get.
Yeah.
And she marries somebody else, the ruling in contemporary halacha is that the kids are not a mamzer. They might rule she should get a get. To begin the chatchila, she should get a get. If they were husbands and wife, you know. But b'di'eved, if they did not get a get because the original marriage was not kosher, she's not considered a married woman. By the way, it's a very interesting concept that many rabbis today, if it's a non-religious couple, they want a non-Orthodox rabbi to do the wedding. If it's a non-religious boy and girl, many rabbis, Orthodox rabbis, will suggest the marriage should not be done by an Orthodox rabbi. Why? They're very simple. They're not religious. With the divorce rate in America between 50 and 60%, there's a pretty good chance they're going to get divorced sometime. Because they're not religious, they probably won't go for a get. Correct? So at least then she won't be an Eishes Ish. Because the wedding was never done kosher. But if an Orthodox rabbi does the wedding ceremony properly, with kosher witnesses and everything, then there's a married woman. So if they, well, not if, when they get divorced, today's world, when they get divorced, and she marries somebody else, then those kids are going to be a mamzer. And that's the whole. But the concept of a mamzer is when it's a relationship which is either karis or death.
So is it better for a mamzer to get married with a non-Jew?
He can't. A mamzer is a full-fledged Jew. One second. A mamzer is a full-fledged Jew.
Okay.
But he's obligated in all the mitzvahs of the Torah. In fact, the Gemara said, the Mishnah says, a mamzer who is a scholar, Torah scholar, has precedence over a high priest, a kohen gadol, who is an illiterate. It's a Mishnah. Mamzer talmud chacham kaidem la kohen gadol amoritz. So mamzer is a very, very 100% full-fledged Jew. He has a certain blemish that doesn't allow it. The Torah doesn't allow him to get married. Now, he technically could marry a mamzeris or a geyeris, like we said. So technically, what happens if it's an older person already, they're not having any more children, she can't have any more children, right? So then technically a mamzer can marry a mamzeris or a mamzer can marry a convert. Because they can't have any kids anyway. If they have kids, the kid would be a mamzer. So you just, by them marrying, just multiplying mamzer. But in the case where they're older, they're not going to have kids already.
Yeah, they can marry. Yeah.
Then they can get married. What?
So this, you know, people are not religious. How do we hold this part of
that? Some do, some don't. Depends what mood you're in.
How do you keep track of all these mamzers and mamzers?
It's a very big problem.
How are you going to know?
So what Mashiach is going to do is to purify the mamzerim somehow.
I know. How does somebody know if this person was like a few generations back.
When rabbis today, it's a very difficult situation today. When rabbis have to do weddings today of a non-religious person that they don't know, they have to verify that they're Jewish, number one. How do we know they're Jewish? What?
That's another thing. People might not even know what happened.
Correct. Listen, well, what you don't know, you don't know. You do the best you can to check into it. But you have to, make sure they're Jewish and they're not adopted. I mean, all these things. You can have an adopted kid. And I'm just dealing now, I'm not what I'm doing, but somebody else is doing a wedding of an adopted kid. And there was never a conversion according to Allah. The kid just is getting married in a few days. He just went through he went through a proper gaitus. Went through a proper conversion. Huh?
Before marriage?
I'm just involved in that case. What?
They have to do before marriage.
Well, you can marry a guy?
No, it's two days, three days. How can you do that?
A man doesn't need to wait 3 months. The woman needs to wait 3 months after gaitus. But the man doesn't.
Man, they can do it right away?
Yeah.
3 months to do what?
A woman who converts or gets a divorce needs to wait 3 months before she could remarry. A man could get married right away. Because a woman could become pregnant after 6 months or after 9 months. Correct? So if a woman got divorced and then and didn't wait the 3 months... A woman... What did I say?
Give
birth. I'm sorry, slip of a tongue. A woman could give birth after 6 months or 9 months. Now, let's say a woman got divorced, right? And a month or two later, she became pregnant. So you don't know who the, and she gives birth 6 months later. You don't know who's the daddy. Is daddy number one or daddy number two? Which has a lot of halachic implications. You know, marriage, relatives of the father, laws of yichud. I mean, there's inheritance law. I mean, there's tons of laws. So, a woman who gets divorced, or the husband dies for that matter, or converts, even though they're lenient in that trend, I don't know why, but you have to have 92 days before they can get remarried. But by the husband, it doesn't matter. He's not pregnant. I hope not. The husband would be pregnant, he got an issue. For more than one reason. Okay, but that's the definition of a mamzer when it says Layovi mamzer bekal Hashem. Okay, now mamzer he says obligated in all mitzvahs. By the way, it's an interesting halacha in Hilchos Yom Kippur. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. What happens if I call somebody a mamzer? I wouldn't insult you. I call you a mamzer. So, I don't have to ask your parents' forgiveness. Even though, by definition, I'm calling you a mamzer means your parents did something wrong. Yeah. I didn't mean them, I meant you. If you say you're a mamzer, ben mamzer, then you have to get forgiveness from the parents too. You know, when you ask forgiveness.
Why? It's because they fought
but you parents. Get malchus, what?
Parents fought.
Right, in fact, the Gemara says, the Gemara discusses L'cheira, why is a mamzer Nebuch to blame? He didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, he's not his fault.
And the Gemara says God cries about the status of a mamzer. You know, you do whatever you can to make them not a mamzer, whatever. But the bottom line is, if a person's a mamzer, it's a big problem. And in fact, Gam Deira Sidi, even the 10th generation, okay, Layave Bekal Hashem, that means as long as there's a mamzer, like we said before, if a mamzer marries a regular Jewish girl, the kid's still a mamzer. It can go on for 10 generations. If they're a mamzer, they're a mamzer. And they cannot get married like that.
Stay 10 generation? After 10 generation is okay?
No, even Deira Sidi. Even, no, forever. What happens, there's a bunch of interesting stuff with this. What happens if a non-Jew lives with a Jewish married woman and has a kid? Mm-hmm. So, luckily, the kid's not a mamzer.
He's live, only live, that's it.
Huh?
is not married.
The woman committed adultery, but I'm saying the kid is not a mamzer because it's coming from a non-Jewish person.
Like rip.
But the mother is Jewish.
The mother is Jewish, the kid's Jewish.
Right.
But it's not a mamzer.
Why?
Because it's only from a Jew that can create a mamzer.
Oh.
So if a woman cheated on her husband with a non-Jew, the kid is not a mamzer.
If she gets pregnant from...
Right.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're allowed to do it.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, like, he's not considered a mamzer.
Right. Okay, next.
But is that child really considered her child? You know what I'm saying?
Her child?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the mother. Kid's Jewish.
So there's a way out of this. If you want to do something, you gotta...
No,
I'm just.
It's not as good.
What? Is the kid blemished?
No,
if you want to just, in case of an accident, you want to save your kid.
If what?
If the woman's a Jewish, a man's.
I know that.
One minute. Shh.
If.
Say it again.
So the man is Jewish, and the woman's not.
No.
And he has kids with her.
The kids are goyim.
Are they his kids?
No.
That's
not his kids.
Why? He's not his dad?
Halachically,
he's not his kids. He's not Mekayim Pruvu. They're not his kids. His kids are not related to him.
From the
Even blood. If the father later converts. No, you said, I'm saying even if the mother converts, they're not her kids.
They're not his kids.
They're not her kids either. Because a convert...
So there's no inheritance.
Whose kids are they? No.
What?
They don't belong to anybody.
They don't belong to anybody. No, biologically, they're her kids.
Yeah.
Like, if it would be a boy, halachically, there wouldn't be yichud. As far as... But, but the kids are going anyway.
What do they do in those situations? Do they, like, adopt their kids when they do that?
They could.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say a woman, she becomes a virgin, she converts.
I mentioned... We had a case in the city many years ago. There was this non-Italian guy married to a Jewish woman.
Mm-hmm.
They had a kid, a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decided to convert. But halachically, the daughter is not his daughter. Biologically, it is, but halachically, because he's a goy and he's a Jewish kid.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, he decided to convert. When he converted... The wife says, I don't want you anymore.
Oh.
So they got divorced. Right? He converted. Oh, they didn't get divorced because they just didn't remarry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they didn't need to get. So then there's a shaila, when the father has custody of this girl, is there a problem with yichud or not?
Mm-hmm.
Of being alone.
Yeah.
And it didn't, because it's a biological daughter, not, mm-hmm. even though it's halachically not his daughter. This is a very big problem today in the world of Mamzerim, by the way. And thank God of the Heter that if the wedding wasn't done kahalacha,
mm-hmm.
and then they don't get a real get, and then, you know, that they have a kid. So almost everybody today is matir that the kid's not a Mamzer.
Okay, so if a Mamzer got married with a non-Jew, so...
You're not allowed to.
Okay, so you're not allowed to, but this, I mean, if he wants... If he gets, since the wedding, I mean, he was a non-Jew.
A mamzer man or a mamzer woman?
Man.
Marries a shiksa?
Yes.
So what, the kids are Jewish, I mean, so what's the...
But if the mamzer man marries a Jewish woman, the kid is still a mamzer.
Right.
The generations following will always
be a mamzer.
Correct. So a mamzer just should not have children.
But not get married. That's it.
So, mamzer with the ger
is allowed. But the kids are going to be mamzerim again. Even though he's allowed to marry her, but the Gemara says in Kedusha that it still follows the blemished of the parent. So the kid's going to be a mamzer.
Of the father or mother?
Doesn't matter. Either one.
Rabbi, what's the difference between a biological father and a halachic father? Or like halachically is not his son, because I'm not understanding this concept.
When a person converts, they become a newborn baby. Correct? It's like not related to anybody. In Halacha says no, but in technical halacha law, okay, if you have a non-Jewish brother and sister, right? So obviously, even a secular in seven Noahic laws, they cannot get married because it's incest, right? But technically, if they both convert properly, they're not related anymore. So technically, in real halacha, they would be allowed to get married. But halacha says no, because it doesn't look right. As goyim, they couldn't get married. And now, as Jews, they could. It doesn't look right. Mm. I'll tell you even more. If a goyish mother has a son, non-Jewish woman has a son, and they both convert, technically, the son can marry the mother. Because it's not his mother, halachically. Again, halacha says you can't do it because as goyim they couldn't do it, and as Jews they could do it.
What
they
but say? Who came up?
Who 1 minute. Do?
Where does this halacha come from? The Torah, or is it?
No, God.
This is a
halacha. But so therefore, you can't do it. Now, biological father and mother means I gave birth to you. So if a biological parent gives birth, non-Jewish, right, gives birth to a child, and the child converts, it's the biological parent, but not the halachic parent. So.
I still don't understand. What's a halachic parent?
Halachic means halachic considers you as a father and a son, or it's a mother and daughter, or a mother and son, or whatever. Halachically, you're not considered related. According to Torah law, you're not related.
Jewish law.
According to Jewish law, you're not related.
Halacha is Jewish law.
I understand it's Jewish law, but it's hard for me to understand the concept of now this child is not... Okay, biologically, I get it. They're related. So what, their souls are disconnected? Or
yeah.
How is that what it's
They're not related anymore. They're like foreigners.
And there's no inheritance.
No inheritance. Well, sometimes the Gemara Kedushin says there is inheritance, but let us... Generally speaking, they're completely separated from that. And that creates a mamzer. Okay, let's finish the mamzer. Let's go further. Done with the mamzer.
Thanks God for that.
What?
The elements of respect.
There's element of respect. You have to be a man. You have to respect them. Same thing with adopted parents. Okay. By the way, this.
Sorry.
What?
Do they have to tell you if they're mamzer or not?
They're supposed to tell people if you're coming to how can you marry them? They don't have to say anything if they're not planning to get married, because they're full-fledged Jews.
But when they go to get married, they'll ask them, are you a mamzer or not?
Well, they check into the situation, yeah?
Excuse me, unless they're in the Hasidic environment, nobody questions these things.
Not only Hasidic, in all the frum circles they exactly. question. Yeah, in the religious circles they question. But now I'll give you another example. An example in halacha, which is 95% of the opinions say one way and a few people say differently. What happens if you have something called in vitro fertilization, artificial insemination, all that. So they impregnate a woman with a different man's seed.
Correct.
You see, the husband can't produce seed, so they impregnate the woman with a different man's seed. Got it?
Is that a mamzer?
Now she gets pregnant and gives birth. Is that child a mamzer?
Yes.
Yes.
Biologically, yes.
It's a biological mamzer, but not a halachic mamzer.
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
In order, so 95, more, even more than 95, so there are a few poskim that disagree, but almost all poskim say that in order to create the mamzer aspect, it has to be through actual relations, not through artificial stuff.
Because there's no death penalty for that.
Right. Well,
no crime was...
Some people say there's a crime, but But I'm saying, according to halacha, I'm not saying you're allowed to, not, I'm not getting into that aspect of
but
it.
If the husband
I'm saying if
knew,
it was done.
Yeah, but the husband agreed to the wife going to do this, so there is no.
What? If a husband agrees for his wife to go fool around.
No, not
and
in
make
that
some
way.
Money on the side.
No, but they're doing it out of a good.
Let me ask you a question. I had this question. I had this question many years ago. This is a couple. Yeah, the husband wanted to make more money, so he sent his wife out to be a prostitute. I'm telling you a real case I had. Okay? The husband sent his wife out. It's inappropriate. Good morning. Okay? He sent his wife out to be a prostitute. Now, what do you mean if they agree? Everybody agreed. That makes it allowed?
Yeah, but the act is disgusting. Come on. I mean, that's for the wrong.
I'll tell you who asked the question, by the way. It wasn't even them. By the way, it was a religious couple that did this. The marriage therapist, who was a frum guy,
he called
with the question, can he counsel them to stay married? Because there's Bechlal question. In fact, somebody asked me this tonight also. Okay. Somebody asked me this tonight. I mean, this afternoon. Let's say you're a rabbi or a therapist or whatever it is, but you're religious, yeah? Mm-hmm. And an intermarried couple comes to you for marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Are you allowed to work on their marriage that it should work? Huh? Officially not, yeah? But what happens if they realize that's what you're doing? You can be sued and lose your license.
But there is no marriage there, though.
I understand, but as far as they're concerned, they're married. They have a marriage license, right? So these are all issues that come up, by the way. Therapists, are they allowed to counsel a couple that's not allowed to be married? For whatever, maybe a coin with a divorcee, it could be anything. Are they allowed to counsel a couple to push them to stay married? This, from therapist, this is going back a long, long time ago. As the Shalit, they came to him for counseling. Should he counsel them to stay married? Should he counsel them to get divorced?
Divorce.
After much consultation with very big rabbis, they said no, we cannot counsel them to stay married. They have to divorce. Because he sends her out for prostitution. He can't stay married. And it wasn't against her will. She willingly did it, so. Yes. But if that woman got pregnant from any one of those guys, the kid would be a mamzer.
And this is a religious couple that would do that?
Don't talk about that.
I don't know how religious they were, but they're officially religious.
They were biologically.
Okay, back to
no.
Let's leave the mamzer.
Then you have many couples that are intermarried.
No.
What do you do?
Okay.
Another problem with the mamzer, never knows it's a mamzer.
Yeah?
Only the mother knows.
Yeah, but a lot of times, what they don't know, they don't know. You're correct. They're not going to say, one second. Shh. But I'll tell you, the question that really came to me today from a shlucha somewhere is like this. They're having somebody come to speak about Shalom Bayis. About peace in the home. Yeah? And she has a lot of intermarried couples in her community. Right? Now, what should she do? It's for the community. The invitation's going out to the community. What should she do with these intermarried couples that are going to come to this lecture on peace in the home? Right? So what should we do? What should she do with it? So I asked her, how many couples are you talking about? Like, what's the ratio? She said there's probably 3 intermarried couples and maybe 10 Jewish weddings. So I said that, listen, you're giving a lecture, the majority is okay. They come, and it's their business. You're not invited, you know, they come, but the majority is you're dealing with kosher marriages that should be strengthened. Anyway, it's a crazy world out there.
Rabbi, if you can teach something positive, why not just teach it? Why do you have to choose whether they're Jewish or not Jewish, they're intermarried, they're not intermarried? If you can teach someone how to behave together in a peaceful way in a household, why do
Let
you
Let me
have
ask you a question. Is a Jew and a non-Jew allowed to be married?
But that's besides the point. That's besides the point. If they've already gotten married and they have family together, for example, right? Why come over here and all of a sudden break it up when you can at least
teach
them how to keep peace in the family?
I'll tell you what you need to do. They need to be convinced that the non-Jewish partner should convert properly. That's what they need to be worked on.
Okay, but
it's not so simple. Are you allowed to help somebody sin?
Obviously not.
Okay. If this couple is living together in sin, and you are helping them stay together.
But at the same time, you're
I understand.
You're helping for them to not sin further. They could go home and this person get mad and beat her in the head, or they could go home and bad things could occur if you're not helping them. Yeah, but by the time they go through the divorce, that
by the age of 12 and 13,
no, it's not.
No. Is there such a thing as a true convert then? The only reason they might convert is for marriage reasons.
Not true. There's a lot of real conflict. Okay, let's go back to it. The Yavi Ameini Yomiyavi Bakalashim. This is also this is relevant to David HaMelech and to Mashiach and to a lot of things. An Amein person or a Moyev person should not enter Bakalashim. Bakalashim means to get married. That means obviously you're not talking about a non-Jewish Amein or Moyev. Talking about a person from Amin and Moyav who converted to Judaism. He is a full-fledged Jew. The Torah says, even though he's a full-fledged Jew, he cannot marry a Jewish girl. Gam Dered Asiri, also the Mamzer, the 10th generation, the Yavi Lahem Bekal Hashem Adem, can never be part of the Jewish people. That means, let's say, Amin convert marries another whatever marries somebody in they cannot be Jewish, and the Torah says now why, okay, he says like this, al devar because ashele kidmu eschem alechem b'bamayim, they did not greet you with bread and water, v'aderech b'tzeisim b'mitzrayim when you went out of Egypt, number one. And also, v'asher socher alecha, and they hired upon you, Bilam ben Be'erd, mipsar adam na'arayim, the Bilam lekalecha to curse you. So the Gemara says like this, there's Amen and Moyav. So the Mepharshim will ask, Amen did give food. Moyav gave, but one of them gave food. So it says like this, that there's two different reasons over here. One nation cannot come, because they didn't give you food. And that's not the Jewish trait. Second one with Moav, when Balak hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people, because they cursed the Jewish people, they were interested, they don't belong in the Jewish people. So even if they convert to Torah, to Judaism, they cannot be part of the Jewish nation, meaning they cannot marry the Jewish girl. They're 100% Jewish. Okay, now, those of you that know the story of Rus, this was the story with Rus. Okay? This guy, Pliny Almeni, did not want to marry Rus, even though she converted. Because he said, the Torah says, a native person from Ammon and Moab cannot become part of Hashem. She was a convert from Moab. So he said, I can't marry her. I'm not allowed to. The Torah says, you can't marry a convert from Ammon and Moab.
Yeah, you can. Women, they were in the houses. And
One second.
What's Amin
Amav? The nations. Amin Amav.
So what would they be called today?
I don't know. One second. So Boaz, who ended up marrying Rus, said that's not the halacha, because the Torah says only the male converts of Amin Amav, but not the female converts. Okay, why? Because the male converts were the one that would go out and supposed to bring the food, and they didn't. The male converts were the one that cursed the Jews. But not the female. The females stayed home. So they weren't part of this. So therefore, that was the whole controversy, by the way, about Rus's permission an allowability to be married into to Bayez. Bayez said the halacha was only male, not female. Now, all these dinim that we're going to learn about, Egyptians, all these people, this din doesn't apply to, Mamzer does apply today. But Amin and Moyav and Mitzvi, all these dinim don't apply today. Why? So the Gemara says, in different places, because Bas and Cherev, Ubilbil is called Ha'ilim. The king Sancherev came in the time of the destruction of the second base, I mean, Chizkiah Melech's time, and he was a king that ruled the world. So to strengthen his position in the king over the world, he actually did a very smart thing. He moved everybody from their country to a different country. He just made everybody move around. Because if you're not in home turf, you're automatically weaker. And that was the way he established his control over the world. Not only Jews. He controlled over the world. Bas and Cherev Bilbo said, so the Egyptians he made move to Amayav, Amayav he made to move here. And so the Gemara says that nowadays there's no nation of Am and Amayav. Because now when you have a person, even if he's coming from the nation, he lives in Egypt or Am and Amayav, that we'll soon learn. Nevertheless, the majority of the world, it's not Amin anymore. So, majority of the world is not from Amin. So when you look at a Ged, who converts, you assume he's not from Amin Amayev, because the majority of the world is not from Amin Amayev. So the Gemara says, Tak, after, in fact, the Gemara tells you, it was a Menimin Ger Mitzri, this guy Menimin, who is an Egyptian convert, and he wasn't three generations, like, well, I don't know if we'll get there today, but three generations that can convert, and Rabbi Kiva said to him, you're allowed to marry a Jewish girl because once Sancherev came and mixed up the whole world, there's no Egyptian anymore, there's no Amin, there's no Moyav. But in those times, before the Sancherev, so then they had a problem with Rus. But the halacha was that Amin and Moyav could be married today. I mean, the female Amin and Moyav, therefore Rus and Moyavia was able to marry Boyaz, and Mashiach, David HaMelech comes from her, and Mashiach comes from her, and all that comes from her, and it's allowed. It would be just a male convert would not be allowed to join the, to marry, again, it's only to get married, 100% Jewish, yes.
Did Yosef HaTzadik move the Egyptians around for the same reason?
Yeah. But that was because he took over their land, so in order they shouldn't still be on the land where they can think that they owned it, when they gave it over to power in the famine, so he moved them over that the people shouldn't even think they own their land.
Excuse me, when you're referring to the world, does this just mean that's part of the continent? And are you referring to, like, the United States as well?
I don't know if there was the United States in those days. Columbus wasn't around yet.
The land existed, though.
The land existed. Of course the land existed. We're talking about the civilized world at that time.
Correct.
When the Moshe wants to enter to Israel, they kill all of them, all the generation of Moab. No.
Not Moab. No.
The Canaanites.
Okay. But Le'ava, let's see this Pasig Vav. What? There's no Amalek today because after Sancherev came, the whole world is mixed up.
So how could we have a positive mitzvah?
It was
the concept of Amalek. Today there's nobody from Amalek to the street. You can't walk into the street and say, okay, you're Amalek, bang.
About Hitler.
For a few reasons. Let's spend your life in jail.
About Hitler.
You can't go around, you can kill Hitler because he wanted to kill people, but you can't kill him because he's Amalek. Halachically, he didn't have a din of Amalek. He acted like a Malik, but he didn't have a din of a Malik. Okay, then the pasuk says like this: Le'ava Hashem Elokecha l'shmeya Bilam. When they hired Bilam to curse them, right? He said God didn't listen to Bilam. Ve'yafech Hashem Elokecha l'chos haklolu levracha. He transformed the bracha that he, the curse that he wanted to give you, to a klala. Because God loves you. Now, the Mefarshim will ask an interesting question. It says, the Pasuk says, God turned Bilam's curses to blessings. But Bilam never cursed them. The Pasuk seems to imply, Bilam cursed, and God changed it to good. But Bilam never cursed. All the things he said were brachas.
His intended curse.
So the Mefarshim say simply it was his intention to curse. And by evil, God can, by Rishon, by wicked people, God considers an evil thought as if it was done. So in Bilam's world, he cursed the Jews.
He tried to do it, he cannot do that.
Right. Correct. But sometimes God punishes wicked people for wanting to do evil. You're right, even though halachically they wouldn't get punished for it in the court. But God would punish them for wanting to curse the Jews or destroy them and whatever. And certain things, like idol worshipping, things like that, thought does have its bearing.
Actions derive from the thoughts. So.
Yeah, but there's a difference between thinking it and doing it. In this world, is an action world. But by the way, there is a world even now. Spiritually, there's a world of speech and there's a world of thought. If somebody says to somebody, I'm going to kill you. Right? Now, in the world of action, he didn't kill them. Correct?
Right.
But in the world of speech, he killed them. Right. If somebody thinks, I'm going to kill you, in the world of thought, you killed them. Right. Except this world is an action world, so physically the guy's still walking around. But in the realm and the world of thought and speech, if somebody thinks I'm going to kill you or says I'm going to kill you, there's a, we said the famous story of the Baal Shem Tov, about two guys in the Baal Shem Tov city, Mezhibush, got into a fight, and one guy said to his friend, I'm going to rip you apart like a fish. I'm going to rip you apart like a fish. So the Baal Shem Tov was sitting with the students around the table, and the way it used to work was when the Baal Shem Tov wanted to show them a vision, they would sing a song, and they would put their hands on the guy next to them, so it became like a link. And in the middle of the song, the Baal Shem Tov was sitting at the head of the table, would put his two hands on the two guys next to him, and that closed the circuit, and he saw spiritual visions.
Oh,
so the Baal Shem Tov, after he heard this guy say, I'm going to rip you apart like a fish, Baal Shem Tov said, okay guys, vision time. So they sang a song, and the students saw a vision of the guy actually ripping them apart like a fish. And they all screeched because it was scary. And the Baal Shem Tov took off his hand and he explained to students that there's a world that, like we just said, action and speech. And he said, when the guy said, I'm going to rip you apart like a fish in the world of speech, in the world of speech, that's what he did. You ripped him apart like
what's
a fish.
More important, the world of speech or the world of
the world of action. But
speech also influences it, no?
Speech influences, but I can speak and not do. You know, I can help break your bones, but I don't do it. But blemish wise, in a spiritual sense, on the soul, evil thoughts are worse than evil action. Because thought is closer to the soul than speech and action. And therefore, when you blemish thought, it's blemishing a deeper level of the soul than speech or action is.
Now, is speech deeper in that sense than action?
Is what?
Does it go like in a hierarchy? In other words, the wisest thought, then comes speech,
right,
and then action,
right,
as far as the blemishing of the soul?
Speech is more refined than action.
Mm-hmm.
See, thought stays within me. Speech leaves me, but action goes into something else. So speech is closer to the soul than, in fact, a person is known as a medaber. There's daimon tzmeichai medaber. Medaber means speaking. So there's a certain aspect of a person that speech is even greater than action. It's a bigger blemish than action. And that's why the Gemara says, Lashon Hara can kill three people.
Mm-hmm.
When you speak Lashon Hara about somebody, it kills three people. The talker, the listener, and the guy they're talking about. So it's like, but the obvious question is, the talker, I understand, he's talking. The listener, there's no listener, there's no talker. You don't talk Lashon Hara to the walls. But Nebuch, the poor guy they're talking about, why does he suffer because those two spoke bad about him? So the answer is, like we just said, because when they speak it, it comes into the world. And because it comes into the world, it can blemish and damage that person who they're speaking about. Because until now, the evil might be hidden and concealed. Speech is revealing. So when you reveal bad about somebody, you're actually revealing his inner levels of evil. You're revealing it to the outside.
But even talking good is Lashon Hara, right?